ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I am Branham. It is Brian behind the glass, and it's a Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Grade the call there, Blankers.
Come on, man. That's like you grading Gerard Johnson. That's my boy. Craig, I love Craig's work.
Craig nailed it, but there's something I would be critical about.
Give it to me.
Craig.
What is it? I know it. Ryan Hollins interjecting.
Over his call.
Yep.
He's all over him.
Yep.
I think Ackerman's toes are bruised with Hollins being all over them. I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to play-by-play. So I'm not a huge fan of it. And I know it's becoming more popular, and I know the rules of play-by-play and radio are blurred and all of these things and modern and all that. I'm still not a fan of a color guy stepping on the toes of a game-winning call.
I did. Yeah, I'm with you. I let it marinate with Craig's calls when we did radio together until he almost gave me the nod because, I mean, that is essential in radio when you are painting the visual and the excitement and the picture and finish it. And if you go back and listen to any of Gene and Jim from back in the day, love them both. But, oh, my God, it was like their first dance lesson together. The way every game, it was just screaming, yelling, and all over each other.
Yeah. So, I mean, Ackerman, it's hard to hear Ryan, but you kind of can. But nonetheless, great game yesterday. We'll get to that in just a moment. We do have a new record to report, though. New record. Killer Bee record.
Okay.
3 minutes and 20 seconds
into
the 3 o'clock hour. It breaks the previous record of 2 minutes and 42 seconds. So shattered it today, in fact.
Wow. Yeah, I kind of noticed when I was looking at the clock and waiting to hear Brian, and I'm like, oh, they did go a little long again today.
Pretty good shattering of the record. So 320 is going to be a high bar. That might not ever be broken. Like this record might stand for a while, I think. Like, maybe it might get broken. Records are meant to be broken, right? But this one might stand for a little bit. Like, this might stand for the rest of the year.
Yeah. I mean, you may be right. But, again, because you're dealing with management as part of the situation, they probably feel like they're untouchable and can do whatever they want.
We'll see. We'll keep track of it. 3 minutes and 20 seconds, though, the record. We began our show at 3:03:20. We'll keep track of that, see if the record gets broken. I don't mind, personally. It means less work for me. I still get paid the same. We still get paid the same, less work. I don't mind, but it is fun to keep track of. How's your day going, Blankers?
I see you're not
in the studio today.
Yeah, no, it's been everything completely turned upside down it actually started last night. But, yeah, my youngest started having symptoms of just a fever and a little bit of congestion, and then couldn't sleep, so decides to join mom and dad in bed all night and was, can I get water? Can I get this? Can I get that? So that meant not a lot of sleep. Woke up this morning and was like, Dad, I feel great. Take my temp. Took the temperature. I'm like, hey, 99.1. Looks like we can go. Yeah, well, the Tylenol wore off at about 10 a.m. And next thing you know, the school's calling going, we have a rule, anything over 100.3, and it was 100.4, so your day is over. So that,
poor girl.
Yes.
Hopefully she gets to feeling better.
She is sound asleep right now. God bless her.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. That's a good timing. Going sound asleep. I feel like I'm a little under the weather myself. I'm playing. It's my flu game. I'm like at 98.6. Right now is where I'm at. Traveled up to West Virginia. It's a beautiful drive, by the way, from Pittsburgh to West Virginia. There's snow on the mountains.
How far is that drive?
It's about an hour 15. It's not crazy. Okay. Yeah, it's not crazy. It was beautiful. Beautiful morning. 35 degrees. The snow has not melted off, so you see snow on the mountainside. It was beautiful. Beautiful drive. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed
where's the place that the Texans – used to have training camp that way?
Oh, yeah. That was the Greenbrier.
The Greenbrier?
I forget what city that's in. Yeah, it's
they
the
say that is D'Antoni has a house there. I forget. There's several people that have houses there that swear that it's the best kept secret, and it is like the most ultimate. They take care of everything. I remember like J.J. Watt saying stories like on their off day that they had everything from if they wanted to go hunting and wanted to hunt for certain things or like 18, all these different. They have just everything like one on one property.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it is beautiful. It really is. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, is where that's
okay.
At. I've talked to people that have been to the Greenbrier, not Texans people, and they say the same thing. Yeah, it's beautiful. A couple of texters, Blanker doesn't like people stepping on toes. I can't believe King Jeremy Stowe Tepper Branham is saying this. A little different between play-by-play and radio. But I'll heed your advice, 0452. I won't step on Blanker's toes for like the first 15 minutes of the show. We'll see where we go after that. But radio and play-by-play, two totally different things.
Oh, no question. And I think that when it's conversational, then it's supposed to be like that. You know, you're not – I don't think that when you're talking with your buddies that you're ever going to, you know, sit there and go, if you get passionate or you guys are getting a back and
forth.
Yeah,
that's enough of whatever you had to say, Blanker. I'm just kidding. Yeah. I was stepping on you. I was just kidding. It was a joke.
Well, I know. But I'm just saying, but that's the thing. Like, if we get passionate, if we go back and forth, you don't want to sit there and just go, yeah, you can just finish that thought. I mean, that's part of the passion of going back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah, those two, it's apples and orange comparison. But I do see the irony there, Texter. It's not lost on me. How about this Rockets game? 10 minutes into the show. Rockets, we're leading with Rockets. Amin Thompson, the game winner yesterday. They went back and forth there those last three possessions. You get the Alpi Shingun dunk on a great sideline out-of-bounds call by Ime Udoka. Then you get Tatum that really took Amin Thompson to school with the easy bucket to tie the game. But then Amin Thompson atoned for that. A little floater in the middle of the lane. Rockets win. Best win of the year, right?
Oh, without question. I mean, look, there's been several. There's been a lot of them, and that's the beauty of how well this team has played all year. But when you look at taking on the defending champions on their floor, the last time you played them, you thought you could hang with them, and they consistently distanced themselves from you and then decided to put their foot on the gas, and they opened up a big lead. Yes, they were a little shorthanded, but it doesn't matter. They had enough on the court, and that was a fun game to watch where the Rockets were matching talent with the Celtics possession by possession. Guys were stepping up. And like you said, I was tweeting about it last night because the difference between Steven Silas and Ime Udoka was on full display last night just with the way that he was, you know, calling plays, the way that he was situationally using his players, the way that he was, you know, having guys switch and do the things they did defensively as well as what they were able to achieve offensively. That was a thing of beauty. That was something, if you're a Rockets fan, you have to be so fired up about, because I think they're just scratching the surface. I think this is where whatever we've heard about phase two and, you know, however they kind of channel their tears of where this team is and where it needs to get to, we're watching this team grow up this season, and they are taking, no matter how many games more or less they win in the standings, this team is getting ready to take that next step.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, I think that I've probably been maybe a little bit more homerish on them and you a little bit more maybe realistic on them this year. But they're fun. Like, they are fun. Mm-hmm. They are young. The arrow is trending up. And that's, like, the thing I care almost the most about. Like, ultimately, you want your teams to win championships and all that. But you always want that arrow trending up. And you don't want to be trending down. You don't want to be rock bottom. Like, even when the Texans were winning 11 games in 3 years, like, they felt like they were going nowhere when they were bad. I can handle losing seasons if you can see the progress, you see the development, you see the future, right? The Rockets have, like, lived through that, and now you're starting to see them reap what they sow with all the young players and getting all this talent in here, because they have been really good. Ime Udoka is a fantastic head coach. Houston is very lucky to have Ime Udoka as the head coach of the Houston Rockets. And look, I think this is a team that is headed in the right direction. I'm not going to sit here and be like, yeah, they're going to win a championship someday. But I do think that they will compete for titles with this nucleus and core.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there just on that last comment because of the fact that I'm catching heat for the whole competing for titles thing. But I think that when you look at it, and you watch what Ime's been able to do, I think the first thing when we start talking about what you and I have talked about since the coaching change was made, and even previous to that when Silas was head coach, they were unwatchable under Silas. There were as much as we have to do what we have to do, it was tough to watch a game start to finish because it was bad basketball. It wasn't very organized. It wasn't like the kind of X's and O's that you would expect out of the top league in the world from a basketball perspective, let alone your local team. And now when you see them on a nightly basis, even when we knew that there was all this young talent, we didn't know what any of these guys was going to turn out to be, you could tell that there was a different brand of basketball. There was a lot of defense being played, and there was a lot of emphasis put on, if you don't play D, you're not going to play for me, you're going to sit down kind of thing, which Silas would never do. And now when you see kind of the fruits of the labor of all that, along with the development of the young players that you've drafted and brought in, it's a beautiful thing to watch because you can watch a full game. It's entertaining. They're hanging with the best teams in the league, whether they win or not. And you can tell that there's another level or two that a lot of these players can still take to where this team can get where we all want to see them go.
Yeah, they are fun. And I'm good with your, like, be patient, too. Like, what's the hurry? Like, I mean, we live in a microwave society. You want everything fast, and obviously it'd be great if they win it all this year. Not saying it's going to happen. But, like, enjoy the ride. Like, This is a young core. Like, this feels like the early days of the golden era. Like, it kind of feels like the 2015 Astros a bit, where you have this core of really young players that you can see potentially be superstars someday, and then you hope they get to that point, and if they do, it probably is going to lead to a championship or two. I think that it is kind of the early days of that because, like, for a Correa, you have an Amin. For a Springer, you have a Jalen Green. For, you know, name the other youngster, you have an Alpi Shingun. So, like, I think there are some similarities there.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I think that the one thing that I was really kind of passionate about in terms of now where they're at in this season, not going and jumping the gun and, like, knee-jerk going out and making a trade now, because of the fact that the last thing you want to do is take a team that's on the verge of, like, creating a golden era for this team and taking it for the next 5 years and go, you know what, we got a little antsy, we made a trade, we went for it in the first year where we saw all this progress, and the guys we traded away turned out to be great, and the guy we traded for turned out to be a free agent in a year and left us, and it never worked out, and then you set yourself back again. That's why I think that you reap the benefits and you enjoy the ride this season, knowing full well, as far as you go this year, it's great for experience for the young guys, it takes the organization to another level. There's still so much further to go that you don't want to screw anything up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Don't make me call in, Branham. Let's get some order. The Coward D. My bad, Coward D. I'll act straight the rest of the way. I'll be on my best behavior. I'll sit up and, you know, I'll make sure that I'm good the rest of the way. 713-780-ESPN. I was being sincere, the Coward D. I don't know why you played the sassy drop. You should have played the sincere drop, Brian. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Your thoughts on this Rockets-Celtics win. Amin Thompson, is he the best player now on the Houston Rockets? Are we willing to go there? Dylan Brooks, well, he's been better than advertised, I think, under this contract. Maybe a debate there. We'll see. Busy show. I think we now have some more hints that Chip Kelly is going to be the next offensive coordinator for the Texans. What do I know? I was predicting Gerard Johnson yesterday. We'll cash him or trash him a little bit later. Dana Brown had some things to say, meeting with the media earlier today. And you know the trade deadline's coming up in the NBA. Interesting name on the market. Would you make a few of these trades? We'll kick it around later, all that and more. 713-780-3776. We're on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. If you want to lower your IQ, I would suggest to enter the chat at twitch.tv/ESPN975.
We're on YouTube. A fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
That was Nick whenever he called us to talk about our Twitch community. YouTube as well at ESPN Houston, Twitter at ESPN975, Blankers at Pac-Man Joel, Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are the Bees, ESPN975, ESPN925.
ESPN975. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I rented a car in Pittsburgh when I was leaving, and I was talking to the attendant. You know, I don't do the small talk stuff. I just dive right into it. I go, what do you think about Tomlin? And he's like, yeah, I'm tired of them. And then I was like, well, what do you want to do for quarterback? He's like, I want either one of them. I was like, okay, you sound like a Pittsburgh fan. And I think that guy speaks for the entire city, too, for what it's worth. So I was taking a little straw poll of the city of Pittsburgh, guys. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Texter Ackerman brings way too much energy, especially on plays that don't have much action. He's screaming his lungs out like Kevin Harlan. Ryan Hollins is just awful. The team is getting good now. Time to upgrade the announcers, too. I think Kevin Harlan's my favorite basketball broadcaster.
He's phenomenal.
So comparing somebody to Harlan would be like, yeah, I think that's good. I think Ackerman's very, very good.
Yeah, it's I think you know as well as anybody, the difference is too that he's been able to transition from radio, which is you have to get every single detail in, or at least the majority of them, to TV, where it's more or less on the analyst a lot more because you don't have to describe it because we can see it.
Yeah, no, I think he's very, very good. We'll just leave it there. Another one on the text line.
I mean, yeah, for both of us.
Brandon T, the Rockets will be a tough out in the playoffs no matter who they play. I agree with that.
You know, I mean, on that note, though, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, on that note, we don't know what we don't know. So we don't know how this team's going to react in the playoffs because they've never been there with the exception of Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks and Steven Adams, I think. So for the most part, that's the next big hurdle for this team. Have finished the regular season, do everything you've been doing, get the best seed you possibly can, and then regardless of how the series goes or the playoffs go, get these guys experience, get their feet wet, get them a taste so that they know, hey, this is how – because you and I both know, things change. I mean, as much as this is a free and easy way of a brand of basketball in the regular season, in the playoffs it gets muddled down. It gets to be more of a slugfest in a half-court game. And the Rockets really don't play a lot of half court. So that's where the next progression takes in terms of getting these guys experience.
Yeah, they're not a good shooting team either, but they're really good at offensive rebounding. So, like, I think sometimes shooting percentage is a little overrated. I value how many points you're scoring a possession. I think that's the most important offensive stat. Like, you might shoot 33%, the other team might shoot 35%, but if you're out-rebounding them on the offensive glass by two times, you're probably more effective as an offense. So, like, that is an area that they have to improve, though, which I don't know if that's something that can happen this year. 713-780-ESPN, has Blank's needle move for total win total yet? I'm not going to let him forget his doubting, Aaron in Mid-County. Oh.
Yeah, no one has, and I don't expect them to because I'm not
no
expecting
Blank, man.
Because of, like, these first two games of this road trip, am I supposed to change everything? I mean, the season's not over yet. And look, let's be very clear. I want them to exceed my expectations or what I think that they're going what they were going to do. But this is still a long season, and anything can happen, and pitfalls are going to happen along the way as well. And it's how they can kind of navigate through it. So I still think that they're around a 48-49 win team. If they go over that, would I be happy and happy to tell you, yeah, I was wrong? Of course I would.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that you've upped the total.
I mean, yeah, I have.
You've upped it throughout the season.
Now, I'm sorry, Jeremy. I'm curious where you are on this, because this is what I'm being held to task on, is the fact that Barry Laminack, of all people, the NBA expert, is saying that he billed them a contender for the title this year and that I didn't. I still don't think they're a contender for the title this year for reasons I just gave. The fact is you can be an above-average team in this league. You can be on the rise in this league. But if you're telling me, does that mean that they can compete with the best in the NBA for a title this season? I personally don't think so.
I tend to agree, but they have wins against Oklahoma City. They've beaten Cleveland twice, and they won at Boston, the defending champions, last night. So, like, they have the signature wins that would say opposite to that.
But
so, like,
again,
you're going more eye test, and I think Barry's going more resume, because I would argue that the resume does look championship contender-ish, but I would say eye test, probably not.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing. You're right. The signature wins are there. Those signature wins are different if you knock out that team in the playoffs, right? You can get signature wins in the regular season. And again, it's a long season. Some guys are rested. Some guys are hurt. Not to take anything away from them, but then it's can I go into Dallas if they have Kyrie and Luka and Clay and all their experience and the guys that they have, and can I say that I can translate beating them in the regular season to beating them in a series? That's a different animal.
Yeah, see, I think that the Rockets can beat any team in the NBA in a seven-game series with the exception of two teams. You want to guess those two teams, I think?
Denver?
No, I think they could beat Denver.
In a seven-game series?
Yeah, I think they can. I think they can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
OKC and Boston. I don't think they can beat OKC in a seven-game series. Even the game that they beat OKC, they kind of got fortunate. I feel like OKC's had their number, and even though they beat Boston at Boston yesterday, I still think Boston would take them in a seven-game series.
I agree on both of those. I thought you were sticking to the Western Conference to get to the finals.
No, I was going overall. So you would go Denver over Houston in a seven-gamer?
I think Denver for sure. And I also think that a lot's going to happen between now and the trade deadline where I think Denver's one of those teams that's going to get real active. And as good as they have, they're starting to play a lot better basketball. They're kind of getting back to where they had been playing over the last couple of years because they got off to a really bad start. I think that they're going to try and add a piece or two, whether that be Jimmy Butler or other, a veteran, or they've been in on the De'Aaron Fox conversations. Whatever they do, they have a chance to take it yet another notch up. But they play really good team basketball in a seven-game series.
Yeah, and I'm not picking the Rockets over Denver today. I'm saying I think that they're capable of beating anybody in a seven-game series with the exception of those two teams. I would not pick them against Oklahoma City. I wouldn't give them a chance against Oklahoma City. I wouldn't give them a chance over Boston, even though they beat Boston yesterday.
I'm a little surprised is that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander alone that you wouldn't give them a chance against OKC?
No, not necessarily. No, it's just watching them play OKC. Like, I don't feel like they match up well with OKC. I feel like OKC kind of beats them with ease. I don't think it'd be longer than a six-game series, quite frankly. But I could see the Rockets reach the Western Conference Finals. Like, I think that's the ceiling. Like, if we're talking about the ceiling, Barry wants to say, NBA champion. The ceiling that I would have for them is Western Conference finalist, which would be outstanding. That would be an incredible year.
No, I agree with you. I think that when you're looking at that, too, from an OKC perspective, the wild card in all of this is because we know that the Rockets have been competitive with OKC. They don't have Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren, the way he was playing before he got hurt, can actually take them and elevate them a little bit more. So I think that's a big wild card for saying, yeah, they're this team right now in the regular season. Can they be a better team come playoff time if Chet's healthy and he can play like he was playing prior to getting hurt?
When is he supposed to come back?
Wasn't it like an ab injury or something that I want to say it was near the All-Star break?
Pelvic fracture.
It's got to be coming up.
How old is Chet Holmgren that he's having a pelvic fracture? Is he 80?
Well, I mean, but he's also got kind of like that super long, super, rail thin frame that wasn't it that LeBron like kicked him in the Drew League in Seattle or something like that, and that was the last time that he had like a major injury.
This guy fell out of the shower and broke his hip. Like, does he need replacement? Like, I don't know. He might need hip replacement at this rate. He's always going to be injured, I think. It's frustrating because I think he is a really good player, to your point, but I feel like he's going to be one of those players that always has injuries. And I think he has a bad body. Like, he's got a bad NBA body. It's kind of like Yao, right? Like, Yao, you knew it was inevitable that he was probably going to have his career cut short or miss tons of games because dudes that are that big usually have feet trouble. Holmgren has had major injuries, twice now in his already NBA career? And this is, his third year out of college? Like, I don't think it's coincidence.
I'm not going to tag him with, the Hashim Thabeets and the guys that just, at a certain point, you can't get out of your own way injury-wise, and then when you try to put on weight, it only causes your frame to break down more. I don't want to go there yet, but we've seen it a lot, like you said, with Rick Smits and Yao and different guys that, they're really, really extremely tall. But, when you put the pounding on your body and you don't have the muscle development to back it up and the bone structure, it you can break down a lot.
Yeah, and maybe it's my bad. Like, I don't think that Chet has put on so much weight that his body can't handle it. I think he just has a bad body. Like, I think he's kind of like Zion Williamson. Like, they have bad bodies. Like, maybe it's because they can't support their athleticism. Maybe in Zion's case, it's because he can't support his weight. There's just some guys that are injury prone, like Lance McCullers. Like, dudes are just injury prone. Some guys are blessed, some guys are not. When it comes to that, I think that Chet's going to be one of the guys that never fulfills his potential because he just can't stay on the floor.
Grinding on Coffee and Whiskey on Twitch is he's got a great point. Wemby could be the next guy like that because his frame is so similar to Chet that you have to keep an eye on him. And I think that that's where, guys like that. Giannis was able to, from the time he got drafted, the weight room and fill out and put on muscle, and it didn't affect him negatively. It actually helped him a great deal. Some guys can't do it. Some guys can. It'll be interesting watching guys like Wemby and especially a guy like Chet, like you mentioned with the injuries, to see if they can do that. Because I'll be honest, the other thing with Yao is he was bigger. He was more developed, but it didn't help him that the Chinese government was making him play year-round, and that's going to take an adverse toll on your body.
That's okay. They made up for it with TikTok, so we're good there. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Let's have the Dylan Brooks conversation. Has he been better than advertised whenever the Rockets signed him? And, yeah, there's some recency bias here. And then the Amen Thompson one. Are we ready to declare? Because this matters, right? Are we ready to declare Amen Thompson the best Houston Rocket? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Yeah, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville is the best in the business at so many different things. He's got now ways that you can get in there, and he has ways to get your abs back and take weight off your midsection and your derriere. He can do plastic surgery. He can do Botox and spot treatments. The thing I'm going to tell you about that I have personal experience with is the NeoGraft procedure and PRP treatments, and it's all centered around getting your hair back and keeping the hair that you have. He is the best in the business. He's right here in the medical center, and all it takes is you getting in contact with him to get all the information to see if you might be the next in line to possibly get to the point where you can get where John Granato has and I have and so many more, and you get your hair back when you start losing your hair. I was losing my hair in front. I got my hairline back thanks to Doc Linville, and I know you are going to love what he can do for you too. And the best part about it is I had a consultation with him that got the process started. I got it for free, and you can too. You don't have to pay the $150 like people off the street. You get it for free if you go to 975hair.com right now, sign up for that appointment. If once you get that appointment, you are going to get them to explain to you everything that I just told you about, and then you're able to ask questions. Get the answers that you deserve to find out if it might be something you might consider doing. Nothing to sign on the dotted line for, no commitments to make or money out of pocket, just an informative session with questions and answers after where you can consider being the next in line to do these game-changing procedures. I did them, couldn't be happier with them. You should check it out too. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You're listening to the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Blankers, you're gonna love this story. I was
say that again.
You're gonna love this story.
Okay.
I was going through the airport. I was going into the airport. You know, TSA. Get in the TSA man, my ID, and he goes, "You look familiar." I go, "Oh yeah." I was like, "I don't know. So he's like, "I follow you on TikTok. Look at me. Social media influencer recognized for my work on TikTok."
Just throw this crap out there to get clicks.
Does that make you proud of me, Blankers?
I mean, look, I think that you are very good at marketing yourself. And
I wasn't fishing for a compliment.
But I don't mind giving it to you, unlike, you know, vice versa.
I don't want to think about it. That's
think
not
that
true.
Very
I give
good
you compliments
doing
all
that.
The time.
You're
I
an
said
influencer.
You look handsome the other day.
I think you're also selling yourself short that whether you like it or not, you're a member of the media, but, I mean, you're also an influencer.
No. I'm not a member of the media. Don't disrespect me that way, Blankers. You want to talk about Amen Thompson or Dylan Brooks first?
Either one. You call it.
All right, let's go to Amen. So I saw a lot of people on Twitter yesterday flexing, like, "I told you Amen Thompson was going to be the best player on the Rockets," and all this stuff. And, like, they were showing their receipts of what day they said it. So I was like, okay, I wonder when I said it. I went back and I found our Cash'em and Trash'em on November 5th of whenever I proposed the idea that Amen Thompson was going to be the best player on the Rockets by season's end. Here is that clip. All right, my Cash or Trash'em. Amen Thompson will be the Rockets' best player by season's end.
Ooh, I'm trashing it. Not by season's end, but boy, is he
trash.
I believe in him long term. There's no doubt about it, just not by season's end.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm hung up to the season's end qualification.
Well,
I don't know
this,
if he passes Shingun and Jalen by season's end, partly because I don't know if he's going to get enough run for us to say that. Not that he's getting no minutes, but he's certainly not going to be top three in minutes. So I'm going to trash it, but I think sometime next season he gets there.
You always poo-pooing my takes there, Blankers. That's what that was. I believe that you thought Amin was going to be the best player. I just think you were poo-pooing the take, which is okay. I don't mind that. But, yeah, I did get a kick out of that. That was November 5th.
I think that it wasn't long after that that I said that he became the best player on the team. So you're right. I was wrong there. But, boy, I was a believer that he was going to develop into. I just didn't think it was going to happen this fast.
I love how quickly you were like, no, not going to happen. And then Brian gives this, you know, long-winded explanation of why it's not going to happen. And where are you? I mean, do you think he's the best player on the Rockets?
I personally do.
I agree.
We're all unanimous.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have been since you brought it up first, we've been on that bandwagon for a couple months now, and I don't care what Jalen and Alpi signed for. It's not only what they're doing now, all three of them, but it's the fact that as much as we've said, look, his shot is not great from the outside. What you saw last night and what you've seen lately is the fact that his touch around the basket and in short range, and I think Ryan Hollins actually started to touch on it last night, is the fact that his floaters, his stuff around the basket, I don't want to say it's elite, but it's above average. And so that shows you, one, there's hope that maybe the shot can develop, but more so than that, he's still going to get his points in and around the basket just with all that touch.
Yeah, he's really good. I think he's not only – like I think the take has to supersede the best player on the Rockets now. I think that he is trending in a way where he could be one of the better players in the league. Not the best, but like top 10 within a year or two. I went and like looked at some early Giannis highlights yesterday after the Rockets game. I'm gonna double down on that. Amin Thompson reminds me of a baby Giannis. Now, he's not as tall, because Giannis is 6'10 and extremely long, 6'11, extremely long. Amin's 6'7. I think he's a shorter version of baby Giannis. I really do. And then I pulled the numbers to look at it too. Like, Giannis in his second season in the NBA was taking half a three-pointer a game. Like, he was taking a half a three-pointer a game. So, like, he wasn't the shooter, and he's still not. Like, he doesn't take tons of threes still to this day. He took more, like, in the prime of his career. But, I'm doubling down on that. I think Amin looks a lot like Giannis early in his career.
Yeah, it's interesting because I had said when Wemby was drafted that you look at the day that Giannis was drafted and you look at Wemby and their body type, the size of their arms, and the fact that you could tell they basically had never lifted weights in their life. And then you looked at what Giannis was able to turn into, and I said, Wemby, that should be your role model to see, you know, it can be done and see how far or how close to that you can get. I didn't make the comparison with Thompson being a little smaller in terms of his height and everything, and he also was a little bit more physically filled out for a kid his age. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, look, you look at Giannis as the example to be the poster child for the guys that can do it, as opposed to the guys we mentioned, primarily like Hashim Thabeet and guys that come into the league super tall with, you know, great range and, you know, they looks like they have athleticism, but you can give them an easy tag to the drive-through window and have them go four times a day and they're not going to put on any weight.
Yeah, I don't think that Giannis was like a good shooter though early in his career. Like, I still don't think he is. Yeah, he never really became that. He got better. But like, you go year two, Giannis in his second season averaged 13.7 rebounds. Amin right now is averaging 14.8 rebounds. Giannis averaged 2.5 assists. Amin 2.7. Giannis averaged a steal a game. Amin 1.5. Giannis averaged 1 block a game. Amin just over 1 block a game. Giannis played 31 minutes a game that year. Amin's playing 30.5 minutes a game this year. Amin's taking twice as many threes, actually almost three times as many threes as Giannis did. Giannis shot 16% from three that year. Amin, not a good shooter, 25%. So, like, and their game's also around the rim. Like, baby Giannis was always around the rim. Now, he was dunking more because he's longer, but I see a lot of those similarities. Dylan Brooks. Has Dylan Brooks been better on this contract than we all expected? Has he been better than advertised for the Rockets?
I don't think so, because I think that the money – I know, and Todd, the show mentioned it again. We knew that they had to spend money. I just didn't like how high and how large of a total value for that contract is that he made. Look, I think that he's a valuable asset to this team doing what he does. Do I think it's worth the 90-some-odd million dollars that the deal inevitably came out to be? I do not. But I think that you know, everybody, because of the recency bias thing, is going to say, because of what happened last night, oh my God, Dylan Brooks. Right, but he's not going to consistently give you those kind of numbers and shoot the three ball like that. He's going to give you super tough defense. He's going to give you that kind of bully mentality. He's going to give you that guy that is a veteran that knows how to play. I just think that it's two separate conversations. Do I think that he is a valuable asset to this team? Yes. Do I think that he is giving you the return investment on that contract? I still don't.
Yeah, I just don't know the negative of not living up to the ROI, though. Because, like you mentioned, they had to spend it. So, like, what's the downside of it? I don't know if there's a negative there. And then also they reverse escalated it, so it makes it super movable or super affordable going forward. So, like, I don't know what the loss there is.
Yeah, I think the one thing is that, you know, a lot of people are almost looking at it like Dylan's going to be a guy that's going to be around for a long time. And I don't see it that way. And I think that what you're seeing right now, and again, I don't want them to do this, but if they're looking to make any trades at all, he's one of the first names because of the contract that comes up. And I think in a way that would be unfortunate simply because he does have value in what he does night in, night out. And losing him and trying to replace that with whoever you bring in, I don't think is going to be the same defensively and in a lot of ways some of the things that he does. But I hear what you're saying in terms of they had to spend the money, and it wasn't like 6 years. It was three, I think, or four.
Yeah, I think
but
it was four.
At the same time, that extra year and that money that took it over 90 mil to me was the one that got me.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to live up to the return of that contract, but I don't know if it was a loss because they weren't going to spend it on somebody else, and it hasn't restricted them. Like, they had to use it that offseason, so it hadn't restricted them of getting somebody else. And like I mentioned, it goes backwards. Like, it was 22.5 last year. This year it's 22.25. Next year it's 21. And then that final year it's actually less than 20. So I thought that was pretty good, capology by the Rockets and Rafael Stone doing that. But I would say that he's been better than what I expected, because I agree about his value. Like, he's one of your best defenders. He can defend multiple positions. I think he is kind of a defensive leader as well. You see him talking the most on the defensive side of the ball. You see these young players look up to him, like Amin Thompson and Dylan Brooks in that little interview with Vanessa Richardson yesterday. You can see, like, kind of the admiration. I think that leadership is something that is felt in the locker room with Dylan Brooks. And I think that the veterans of Brooks and Van Vliet have actually lifted the young players. I don't think these young players would be where they are if you didn't bring in the veteran leadership of those two guys. So I think that's been valuable on that sense. But where he surprised me the most, and look, I understand he's not going to make 10 threes a game, and I was surprised that he actually tied a franchise record there.
Mm-hmm.
But last year he shot 36% from three, and yes, yesterday he made 10 threes, he was on a heater, but he's shooting 38% from three this year. And I remember whenever the Rockets signed him, I was like, look, this guy's got to be your 3-and-D guy. He's got to be one of your best defensive players. He has to shoot 35% from three. And people would push back at the 35% thing because he was not that. He was not a 35% career three-point shooter when the Rockets signed him. But the fact that he was 36 last year, 38 this year, is why I believe that he has exceeded the expectations that I had for him.
And that's fair. I just, like I said, you know me, and I've held steadfast on the fact that I just thought it was way too much money in too many years, because, yes, you had to spend the money. You didn't have to spend it for that long. And it is structured in such a way that maybe it all turns out at the end of the day that it works out for them. But the one thing that I noticed that you mentioned is that this team and this chemistry reminds me a lot of when OKC had the kind of developing unit of Ibaka, Harden, KD, Russ. They had the kind of Nick, what's his name from Kansas? They had Perk. They had a really, really young team like this group, and they were so tight-knit that it helped them kind of fight through situations, win games. And that's going to be interesting to see, because at a certain point you can't pay all of them, or at least you would think you can't. But for now, I think the other great thing to see about this team is a lot of teams don't like each other when they're not on the floor and having to play the games with each other. This team is super tight, and you got to love the way that the mesh of veterans and young players hasn't altered that in any way.
The detail says the Rockets' aura is maxing. That was going around yesterday. Texter, how about the Rockets? Rockets barring injury, best starters, depth, and coaching in the West to get to the NBA Finals. I would have OKC ahead of the Rockets, but Rockets second I'm fine with. And then Rockets went into the champs' house and punked them Houston coming out of the West. I wouldn't call that a punking. A great win, no. Win of the season. You win at the buzzer, it's not a punking. Like, you got to go hammer them by 20 for it to be a punk.
And what I liked is what we've talked about over the last couple of games, too. If there are times with as good as this team's been playing where they get down 10, 11, 12 points, especially in the second half, they're not mailing it in. They're digging into the trenches, and they're ready to go back and get it back to a single-digit game and a one-possession game, and they're fighting. And that's what you love to see, because we hadn't seen a lot of that. When in the past, we saw the body language and the kind of waving of the white flag when they would go down 11, 12, 13 points. Last night, again, you know, you sustained a couple of runs by the Celtics. You just dug right back in, got right back in the ball game, and then had another chance in crunch time to execute, and they did it.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Lance shared an interesting story about Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud we'll get to. Also, I have some hints. I have some clues that the next Texans offensive coordinator is going to be Chip Kelly. And it's hiding in plain sight for all of us to see. 713-780-3776. It's the B's, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter, place your eyes on this Gents team so far. Rockets have played, have like a 56 win percent rate. The remaining schedule win rate is 50%. Back-to-back losses has only happened twice this season. 56 wins, baby, says the Texter. I actually went more in depth on the remaining schedule and why they are in a tough stretch. The rest of the second half schedule is actually easier than the first half schedule for the Rockets, which I was surprised by. Ocho, I know you're talking about the Rockets' cute little win, but at least at some point we need to get to the main event of last night, Iowa State at Arizona and the greatness of Mr. Caleb Love. That was an unbelievable finish. I watched that entire game. Yeah, he was not good either. Like, Caleb Love was not good for 39 minutes. 39 minutes and 45 seconds. And then he hits that shot and then exploded in overtime in a big win for Arizona, who probably ranked if they can finish the week off without losing, because they're unranked.
Is he in his sixth year?
Probably.
Because he spent at least two or three at Carolina, and then he's been at least two.
Let's see.
He's been at least two at arizona.
Let's dial up the old computer.
I mean, he's
machine.
Not in the
you're right, three. He's in his fifth year. Three at North Carolina. This is his second year at Arizona.
Okay. Yeah, because he's not in the Dickinson and your guy in terms of who has more college years under their belt, Dickinson or your big
talking
fellow?
About Juwan? Probably Juwan because he redshirted. Juwan redshirted his freshman year. Like he didn't play. Like, so he's been in college one more year, but he didn't play. Guess how many points Love has in his career.
Oh my God! I don't know what's a above average season in college basketball. 1,000?
No, you can't get. I mean, it's very difficult to get to 1,000 in a year. I think it's only been. I think a Pistol Pete might.
How
have been
many,
like
how many games they play?
They play. About, I mean, depending 25? On the tournament. Like, Love's played 29 games his freshman year, 39 his second year, 33 his third year, 36 last year, 20 so far this year. Hey, I'll just give you the answer. It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
2,437. Okay. No, 2,400. Yeah, it was. I mean, okay. It's. I was just looking at it. That's a huge number because he's been in college forever. Did you hear this Lance story? And I think this.
You
were the one who were talking about this the other day about how he didn't get along with his Ohio State OC. And I was like, I didn't hear that. And then Lance started talking about it. I think it was 2 days ago. Or it was yesterday morning, actually, because it was Monday. 2 days ago, it would have been Sunday, you idiot. But here was Zuerlein talking about Stroud and Slowick, now that Slowick is fired. And then their little meeting that they had when they brought him in for an official visit that apparently led to a little bit of a disagreement between the two.
I'll tell you the whole thing now that Slowick's gone. C.J. Stroud came to visit the Texans, and Bobby Slowick was telling them, okay, they were watching stuff on tape. Now, before I tell you this, when CJ was at Ohio State, he really didn't talk to the OC at all. He didn't think he knew ball. This coming from somebody who knows CJ intimately. He didn't think the offense coordinator was very smart. So he would only talk to Ryan Day. Ryan Day was the guy who had to communicate with CJ, which I didn't love that. honestly, before the draft process, and it played into some of my thoughts on CJ in terms of coachability. What I heard was that he didn't, like, his communication was Ryan Day and not the offensive coordinator. Okay, well, that's a little strange, but whatever. He comes into Houston. Bobby Slowick is trying to tell him some stuff, and CJ just says, oh, yeah, I know that we call this, you know, whatever, XY switch, whatever it would be at Ohio State. And apparently, maybe it happened a couple times, and Bobby Slowick just kind of jumped him and said, I don't give a what you call it, Ohio State, this is college, this is pro football. And Bobby kind of got in his face about it, you know. And CJ's not one to back down at all. And CJ, and I don't know if Bobby was testing him or I don't know what the deal was, but CJ jumped up and got back in his face. And it was very contentious. It had to be kind of broken up. And so when CJ went to his next, he went to his next draft meeting, and I talked to the team where CJ went, because I asked his team, hey, do you hear anything about this with CJ Stroud? And they said, oh, we asked CJ how his last visit went, which was Houston. And he said, terrible, terrible. I don't think I'll be going there. And people who trained, like CJ's whole crew, did not want him to go to Houston. And they didn't think he was going to Houston because it was he and Bobby got into it. And then CJ was drafted by Houston, which that's one of the reasons I was really surprised. Like I kind of wrote, after finding that out, I wrote CJ off from the Texans. And I thought, okay, this is Will Anderson for sure. And so when they traded for him, I was very surprised because I knew there was that lingering stuff there. But then in discussing all of it last year, I heard it was squashed. Like there was no issue. Bobby and him were good.
All right, I won't pick on Lance that they didn't trade.
I was going to say technically, there you go. But, I knew you were going to go to that.
That's what I do. Onich says that Lance's Slowick news was brought up on Colin Cowherd's show earlier. Went national. What do you make of this?
I think that it's. Well, I can tell you this. First and foremost, I would bet that the team that he went to next was the Colts because Lance is tight with Ballard. They needed a quarterback, and that makes a whole hell of a lot of sense. Yeah. I think there's probably something to the fact that, look, I think in certain circles, the news did get around about what happened at Ohio State and that CJ basically was not even talking to the OC and was talking directly to Day. And I think that, you know, how teams play the psychological game, that might have been in some ways a little bit of a tactic too to say, hey, don't come in here thinking you know it all because this is the NFL, not college. And so I think maybe a little of that played into it. But I think that you can see based on it, you know, what Lance has said that CJ's reaction probably wasn't what they were expecting either. They wanted a kid that was going to, you know, be able to stand up for what he believed in and speak his mind. But the fact that he came out of it thinking that he wasn't going to go to Houston is interesting.
Yeah, see, I think this is a big nothing burger. Like, I really do. Because they had this contentious moment. The Texans drafted him at number two. And I remember Nick Caserio talking about this, and, like, they kind of liked it. Like, they kind of liked that from their quarterback, that he was willing to kind of, like, step up and be like, yeah, this is what I think. And then they got along great. Like, we never saw an issue with Slowick and Stroud. And every single – and, look, Stroud always says the right thing at the podium, right? He never said a bad thing about Slowick. Slowick had a great year one with C.J. Stroud in his rookie season. They took a step back this year, but I don't think it was because of the relationship. I think this is a giant nothing burger, quite frankly.
Well, let's also think about the fact, Jeremy, that when these interviews happen and these in-person meetings happen, a lot of times they're trying to tick you off. I mean, the teams are doing whatever they can to see how good you are at being able to hold your emotions. And you know that they've done everything. Basically, I think teams were like making accusations about players' moms and doing everything that they could to see if they could draw. I think it was either Dez or a receiver that got like went and made public a lot of the questions they were asked.
You remember what they said? Remember what they asked them?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it, but I believe it was questioning like maybe the profession of their mother or something like that.
Yeah,
but
that was it.
Yeah, it. You know, those are the kind of things that teams are doing because they need to know every aspect that they can possibly kind of grasp onto in terms of the psyche and the way that players handle everything.
Yeah, like it also seemed like Junior Bronco says screaming at a guy in a draft interview seems crazy. It also seemed very out of character. Like, I have a very difficult time seeing Bobby Slowick, like, stand up and, you know, bump his chest out and, like, stand over C.J. Stroud and be like, it's not X, Y, it's A, B. Like, it seems a little out of character. So I'm wondering if we've kind of, not we, but I'm wondering if this story has kind of been embellished a bit over the last 2 years, where it was more of a healthy conversation that maybe they didn't see eye to eye, and maybe they cursed at each other. I don't think they were about to, you know, exchange punches by any stretch of the imagination, because I don't see Slowik doing that. Slowik doesn't seem like that kind of guy. Binary Bobby stepping up to C.J. Stroud, I really doubt it. I really doubt it. But then even if he did, their relationship was fine for 2 years.
Right.
He had a good rookie year with him. Stroud said nothing but good things, and he almost got a head coaching job after year one. That's why I don't think this really matters at all.
Well, I think, too, when you think about it and you think as to how it all went down, Bobby was never been OC before in these meetings with his first opportunity like this. I would think that this would be more like maybe Nick driven than it would be Bobby Slowik, if anything, to see if they could test the mettle of a guy like CJ. I wouldn't expect that a guy that isn't, it seems like a guy like that's pretty damn confident in his abilities, in the fact that, you know, he would be a guy that has the kind of confidence to say, hey, look, I can do whatever I want because I've established myself. If you're a first-time OC and you're in this question-and-answer session with a guy that you're thinking about drafting, you don't want to step on your GM's toes or your head coach who hired you and piss this kid off if you're afraid that it might have a negative connotation.
Or it could be intentional, like you're saying. Like maybe it was, let's see how he handles whenever yep. there's a little confrontation. Because you know what? In the NFL, there's going to be confrontation. Like even if it's coach in the film room talking to a quarterback. So I don't think that there's anything to this story. I think it's a giant nothing. But like if it would have happened last week and then Slowik got fired, then let's chat. But it happened before the draft where he went second, had a rookie of the year season. Slowik almost got hired as a head coach, and they had a great relationship on the sideline. I think it's a giant nothing burger. All right,
I think that's it. I think you hit on it too. I think before we wrap it up, I just think that that's what they did. They said to Bobby, hey, we want to see how this kid reacts in certain things. Do this. I don't think that it was something that was personal that, you know, set them off on the wrong foot.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the hints that Chip Kelly could be the next offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, right now a word from mybookie.ag. It's the place you ought to be if you want to put money down on sports, because they are the best in the business. They are always taking care of their customers, and they're going to take care of you too. They take care of you in a variety of ways, and the main thing that they always do is they're going to actually help you put more money in your account so you have more games you can bet on and more chances you can win. They're doing it again right now with a sign-up bonus. When you sign up on MyBookie and you put money into your account, they're going to put more on top of it, up to $1,000, and therefore it's almost instantly that you have more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. When there's not games going on, there's also live dealers standing by, and those live dealers will be there to help you play casino games like blackjack and poker. You don't have to fly to Vegas or drive to Louisiana. It's right there at your fingertips thanks to mybookie.ag. And they also have a great rewards program for you and lots of other specials too. On Thursdays, you place a bet. If you win, you cash in. If you don't, forget about it, because that's what they're doing for their customers. And the rewards program is called MyBookie Plus. When you sign up and you use our promo code, which I'm going to tell you is the only way you unlock all these deals and all these different ways they take care of you, which is bet975, use that code whenever you get a chance. And every time you place a bet, they're going to keep track of it. The more you bet, the higher you go on the tiers of the rewards program, the better deals you get, the better offers you receive, sometimes the better odds you may be involved in too. And it's all because you're a customer at mybookie.ag. They are the best in the business. They always want to take care of you. They've been in business for over a decade. They're going to take care of your money. They're going to take care of you as a customer, and they want you to continue to come back. Check them out today. Go to mybookie.ag. And as I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag, and use our promo code bet975.